goes astray, and the flame dies away. You walk the lonesome night.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Larry Bloom on the Divorce Hour. Today we have a very special show, but I want to tell everybody it's gorgeous outside. If you're listening on your headphones in the park with Wi-Fi, enjoy. If you're inside, you're working, give us another hour and then go outside because you're not going to want to miss this show. As you know, each week we talk about divorce. And if you want to call in with questions for my guest or for myself, the number is 877-480-4120. Parents and especially children are encouraged to call in today. No question that is troubling you should go unanswered, and Marina and I will do our best to help. Your questions and comments will determine how the show will proceed today. I can ask all the questions. You guys know I can talk and talk and talk, and I have a lot of questions on this subject, but the only way you can guarantee that your question will be answered is if you call in, and again, the number, 877-480-4120. This is the show that I have told you not to miss. My extra special guest today is Marina Lombardi. Let's get to it. I'm not even going to do any previews today. Hello, Marina. How are you?
I'm well. How are you,
I'm
Larry?
Great. Thank you so much for coming down to Manhattan today. I know it was a big trip.
Thank you for having me. This is very exciting for me.
And I believe we have a call on the line. So before I even get my own question in, we're going to speak with Teresa. Hello, Teresa. How are you today? Teresa, can you hear me? Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
You have a question for Marina?
No, I was just dialing in to listen.
Ah, well, you know what? May I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Go turn on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Go to www.talkingalternative.com and listen live. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the show.
All right. Bye-bye.
Marina, you've written a book.
I have.
What's the name of the book?
The name of my book is called It's My Divorce 2, A Child's Perspective on Divorce.
And you are how old?
I'm 18 years old.
When did you start writing this book?
I started writing the book in a very different form, sort of like a diary, when I was about 10. And gradually, I changed that diary form and that letter form into something more palpable. And by the time I was 16 years old, I published.
That's great. That's great. Before I forget, tell us how one can get your book.
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of the book would be to go to my website. It's mydivorce2.blogspot.com. And there's a PayPal link that you can purchase over the internet. And if you have any questions or comments, you can email me directly at ourvoice@hvc.rr.com.
Got it. And we will ask you that again later. And just so I know, the website, it's yourdivorce2, T-O-O.
Correct.
Okay. Like Divorce by Bloom is my website, B-L-O-O-M.
Yes.
Okay, good. Having gotten that out of the way. So you started writing in diary form.
Yes.
Did anybody suggest you write?
Since the time I was starting to experience my parents' separation and divorce, I was seeing a psychotherapist to help me manage my emotions, understand them, understand the situation. And by the time I was about 10 years old, I think we had gotten to a stage where he said, if you're having problems communicating with somebody, or you just have feelings that you want to write down but you don't want to talk to anybody about it, why don't you write letters? You can write it in a diary or a journal and write these letters to whoever you feel you need to express your emotions to, and then you never have to send them. But you'll feel better just having expressed those emotions.
It's cathartic to write.
Oh, it's so cathartic.
I assume you wrote this starting with your parents' separation.
Correct.
Okay, and when did you learn about that separation?
I was about 8 years old, and as it says in the first paragraph of my book, I was watching the Summer Olympics on my parents' bed, and my mom, I think, had friends over and was in the other room, and my dad came in to check on me and sat me down and said that he and my mom were having some problems and that he was going to move next door into the cottage that we usually rented out. And that's really how it all started.
So only your father spoke to you at the beginning about it?
He was the one that initially informed me of the situation.
Okay. And you have a sibling, do you not?
I do. I have a younger brother, Anthony, who is currently 14 years old, but at the time was 4.
Okay. And, so I assume that, did you ask, how'd you feel when your father told you that?
I don't think I completely understood what was going on. I was kind of thinking, oh, okay, you know, daddy just needs a little time apart and, you know, okay, that's fine. And I didn't really understand the concept of the long term and how it would affect us and that it would end up truly in a separation of my parents and my family.
Okay. Did you ask your father questions then?
I think the question that I asked, which is probably the most normal response for an 8-year-old, is why? Because I don't ever remember. Some children grow up with parents that fight and fight and fight in front of them all the time. And that never was the case. So I was kind of confused, because I didn't really know that there were any problems going on. So really, I just was kind of asking why, because I was completely oblivious.
Okay. And then you had an opportunity to talk to your mom about it as well?
Yeah.
That must have been really weird that your father would do that when the company was over.
You know, it was just, I think it was just kind of a time for the two of us to just, to be alone. You know, and I had kind of removed myself from everybody else, and I was just, you know, watching TV, this and that. And so it, you know, I think that it was just kind of a convenient time.
Okay.
To just, you know, have the two of us talk.
Okay. I believe we have a caller. No, we do not have a caller. Excuse me. Wait, hold on for a second. We do have a question and a caller. Stan, are you there? Okay, Stan, are you there?
I'm right here.
Hi,
hello?
Hi, Stan. How are you?
Is Marina there?
She is.
Marina, this is Stan Rafe.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I am just so overwhelmed to hear your voice on the radio.
Oh, my goodness.
And since I know your whole family, I know what you're talking about, so I'm just delighted by all this.
Oh, thank you for listening.
So, what about this? The book that you wrote? I didn't even know that you wrote a book.
I did. I published it about a year and a half ago and have been kind of riding the waves.
And who published it, and how can I get a copy?
It was published in Canada by a place called artbookbindery.com. It's Artbook Bindery, and you can get them at artbookbindery.com.
Right.
My website is itsmydivorce2.blogspot.com, and there's a PayPal link there.
Right. Well, that's good. And when did you write the book?
I started it when I was about 10 and
really?
Finished it when I was just before I turned 16.
Well, you were writing it when I knew you?
Yeah. The beginning stages of it, I guess.
Marina, well, is Stan in the book?
Stan is not in the book,
okay,
but Stan is the inspiration for my performing arts career.
Okay, which we'll get to later.
Yeah.
Well, that is the most amazing part. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed and so delighted that you've done this, because I just when I knew Marina, she was 10, and she appeared in many of the plays that I did, and she was just kind of somewhat meek, but not meek. She was just sort of getting her first wings. And then, so to have her grow up and to write a book about her life in a very troubling time is really extraordinary, and I'm just so impressed with her and with what's going on. And I feel like I do have a very teeny weeny role in the emerging of this woman.
most certainly.
So I really wanted to call to congratulate. I got an email from her mother saying,
"Oh, thank you."
So I will continue listening, and hopefully when you and your mom get a chance to come to New York, we can see, and I can see what you look like.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in so many years.
Well, when you buy the book, there's a lovely picture of Marina on the back of the book.
Well, thank you.
Even more insight. I'll let you continue with your interview here, unless you have something you want to ask me.
No, I don't. I'm just really happy that you're listening in.
Well, your mom sent me an email. I mean, I would not have normally listened to the station because, unfortunately, we don't listen to the radio as much as we should.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you heard about it.
Well, that's great. You continue with your interview, and good luck to you, and I'm sure I'll see you in the real near future.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling, Stan.
Right, bye-bye.
A pleasure. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Marina. I have discovered who does that song, When Love Goes Astray. So if anybody can call in and tell me, because now I know, you will win my copy of Marina's book, and then I'll go buy another one. The phone number here, 877-480-4120. This is Talking Alternative, The Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
This is Jim Blue. When is the last time your computer had a checkup? You probably make sure your car keeps up with its maintenance schedule. Surely most of you have annual physicals. The same should be true of your equipment. Why shorten the life of your computer? You can save money by extending the life of your equipment with a maintenance program. In order to find out what type of program works best for you, give us a call. The phone number is 917-921-4518.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Loving you,
isn't the right thing to do. How can I ever change things that I feel? If I could, maybe I'd give you my world. How can I, when you won't take it from me? You can go your own way.
You can go your own way. Fleetwood Mac, another great divorce song. Sam can pick them. Sam's behind the controls today. If we sound good, it's because of Sam. If we don't sound good, it's because of me. So, we are here with Marina Lombardi. I got to ask you, how did you feel when you first learned about your parents' divorce?
I think probably mostly confused.
Okay.
That was probably a lot of that probably had to do with the fact that I had never seen my parents fight other than just normal conflicts that just arise in a household, but nothing that was excessive or that I would have thought, oh, you know, my parents are just not going to stay married.
And you knew about parents that didn't stay married by the time you were 10, I would imagine.
I did, and I talk about it in my book how I always looked at myself as being lucky because I had this picture perfect family. I had a mom, I had a dad, and I had a sibling. And, you know, I had a dog, and it was just this picture-perfect household. And all of my friends, I was starting to see this friend was starting to go through a divorce with her family. And this friend was, you know, her father moved out, and this friend, her mother left. And so all of these things were happening around me, and I was like, wow, this is lucky. And then all of a sudden, I was one of them.
What did you think was the cause of your parents' separation? Or more particularly, did you blame yourself?
There's always a part in the process where the children blame themselves. I feel like it's almost an inevitable kind of a thing. It's not necessarily blaming yourself for, you know, maybe if I behaved better, they wouldn't be so stressed out. Or maybe this. It's just almost like your very existence. You sometimes feel like, you know, having a child is just, it's stressful, and there are responsibilities, and one parent might have a certain views on how to raise a child and the other might have different views. And so it's almost like you feel like your very existence has caused this tension that has caused problems that maybe wouldn't have existed if your parents were just married without children.
What a mature view. Did you speak with your therapist about this?
Oh, yeah.
At the time, or?
Yeah, I mean, there were always, you know, when you're consistently going to therapy, you come in sometimes with a specific problem or specific feelings. And sometimes you come in and all of a sudden in talking, problems are exposed. And, you know, there are times when you come in and you say, oh, my gosh, it was me, it was me, it was me. And then you work and you work and you work, and he tell you come to this conclusion that, okay, it wasn't me. I don't have to think that way. And for a couple of weeks, you might be good. And then something might happen that triggers that feeling of guilt again. And you go back in the next week and you say, no, it has to be me. And then you start all over.
Okay. And I know that my children are in your position, but my children are a little bit older, certainly than when the process started. I assumed my children would say to me, what took you so long? Did you ever feel that? You're obviously not, based on what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and it may have been due to the fact that, you know, the age.
True.
You know, as a little kid, I don't know that you're as aware of the family dynamics and maybe things going on with your parents. Now, I don't know. I mean, it could have been a situation where had my parents only began a separation last year, maybe issues would have shown themselves in the past 10 years that did not exist prior.
Okay, that's fair. You were 8. Your little brother was 4. Did you parent him a little? Were you his sounding board?
I think all of a sudden, when the devastation hit, and it eventually did hit very hard for everyone, I started to mother my brother because we were traveling. I mean, eventually it was going from daddy and spending weekends with, you know, every other weekend with him and then going back to mom.
And this was after he moved out of the cottage. This was,
yeah. Okay. And so there's a lot of back and forth. And I think that at that point in time, I just was there trying to protect my brother and kind of take him along with me.
Okay. Marina, we have a caller. Susie. Hello, Susie. How are you today?
I'm fine. Hey, Larry. It's Susie. How are you?
Oh, it's Susie. Susie was a guest on this show talking about divorce support groups. Susie, I'm sure you have a question for Marina. I'm not going to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, actually, I don't have a question.
What? You have a comment?
I just have a comment,
okay.
Yes. Okay. And I'd like to say hi to Marina, too. We met at Panera's, if she remembers.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Well, I didn't have a question, but I just wanted to comment for all your listeners that I think that everybody should buy your book because it really is very informative and it gives a very good look at what most parents need to know. So I just wanted to send that along.
Susie, I'll go one step further. I think that the parents should have their children read the book. I think
absolutely.
It's enlightening.
Also, buy each other a gift. I highly recommend it for both parties.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Susie.
All right.
Thanks,
good
Susie.
Good luck to you, Marina.
Thank you very much.
You.
Have a great weekend, Susie.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was nice. Okay. You ever feel like you had to parent either of your parents?
My parents were very mature about the situation. There are a lot of, I know because I had friends, very close friends that were experiencing the same thing and their parents acted like babies. And it was just this, just horrible conversations in front of the children and, you know, totally oblivious to the fact that you have children that should just not be hearing these things. My parents really pretty much kept anything that was dirty away from my brother and me. And I think that that's extremely valuable in a child and in a child's upbringing. That
oh,
they
I
don't
agree.
Have to see that. So I luckily did not have to be a parent to my parents.
Oh, that's a plus. That's a plus.
Yeah.
I know my daughter's personality. She's a parent to everybody. You walk down the street, she's their mother. So, and Katie, if you're listening, I see the map. I don't see DC lit up today. But if you're listening, please call in. Jake, if you're listening, please call in. I'm sure you guys have questions. Those are my children.
Ah.
How often do you see each parent now?
I primarily live with my mom, and for a very long time, my brother and I both went every other weekend to my dad's house. And then there was another period of time that we would go every Wednesday as well. But, my brother still goes every weekend and I sort of have stopped with that because for me, it just got so difficult to pack everything up on a Friday, go over and then leave again on a Sunday because I've been traveling to New York City and studying music for the past 2 years every weekend. So it just got too complicated. But
so let me get this straight. You're 18 years old. You're in high school. You write a book. You do, because I'm not your first radio interview, am I?
No.
Okay. So you do interviews and you go to a music program?
Yeah. For the past 2 years, I've been studying classical voice performance at the Manhattan School of Music.
Okay. And what does the future hold for you?
The future holds a bachelor's degree in classical voice performance from the Manhattan School of Music.
Oh, very cool. So you'll be local.
I will be local.
And maybe we'll have you back again.
That would be wonderful.
I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about when we come back. I have an email asking me for advice for children whose parents still fight after the divorce. So let's think about that. This is the Divorce Hour. I'm Larry Bloom, and we're here today with Marina Lombardi.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you suffering from aches and pains? Why not treat them naturally? Hi folks, I'm Giorgio Rapetti from Rapetti Wellness. Treat your aches and pains with natural methods at Rapetti Wellness in New York City. For more information, please call 212-721-8183. 212-721-8183. We look forward to hearing from you.
Are you confused by all the new gadgets that appear to be coming out almost on a daily basis? Is the new iPad for you? Should you be buying a PC or a Mac? My name is Jim Blue, and I make technology understandable. My phone number is 917-921-4518.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Marina, tell us what we're listening to.
You are listening to my YouTube video of my senior recital for Manhattan School of Music pre-college.
And what are you singing?
This is a piece called Sento nel Cuore.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
And you can find just YouTube, if that's a verb, YouTube Marina Lombardi. And you'll hear three beautiful renditions. And you'll also be able to hear Lisa Gibbons' various interviews with Marina. So enjoy. Enjoy. And nobody knows who does When Love Goes Astray. You can get a free copy of the book. Or call us in with that information or call us in for questions or comments. Again, 877-480-4120. We had an emailed question, which I gave you before. Any advice for children whose parents are still fighting after the divorce?
Well, for the children, the best advice that I can give is to communicate. That was at times a very big downfall for me because it's not easy to communicate. But you need to tell your parents that you love them both. And that's okay, no matter what the problems are and who's responsible for, you know, instigating a divorce, anything like that. You love both of your parents and they need to know that. And they also need to know that because you love them both, you don't want to hear fighting and you don't want to hear mommy tell you bad things about daddy and daddy tell you horrible things about mommy. It's just, it's not necessary. And you need to let your parents know that that hurts you. And as far as the parents go, really it's something that you need to grow up and you need to be parents. You cannot be the children because your children need you to be parents. And if there are that many problems, mediation is always an option. And if that's not a route you're willing to take, then those conversations and those arguments need to be taken away from the children.
Okay, good answer. Thank you. Let me ask you this. Your book is set up in basically two sections, right?
Yes.
The first part of the book is your story.
Yeah.
And I imagine that's what you wrote primarily when you started writing when you were 10.
The beginning of the
book.
The beginning of the book was definitely written in the earlier stages. But the last section of the autobiographical part of the book was written pretty much at the end. I mean, I was about 15 years old right before I turned 16. And as soon as I finished that, that's when I sent it off.
And the second half of your book is a learned treatise from experts. How'd you get the idea to do that?
I guess I sort of felt like I needed other people who do this for a living, to back me up, but to also to help in ways that I was incapable of helping. I can give advice as a child, and from a child's perspective that nobody else could give. A therapist who has been in the business for years can try to write about what he speculates children go through, but it's not the same as a child giving a firsthand experience. But I wasn't able to give a lot of the statistics and advice that is just known from people who have been doing this professionally.
And a large part of the expert advice was from interviews that you did with
them. Yes. Yeah. I set up interviews with three very different people who experienced divorce in different situations.
Okay. And you asked the questions that were on your mind, the things you wanted answers to.
Yeah, and questions that I felt needed to be answered for other people, statistics, and just sincere information.
You're not unlike me. I started the show wanting to get answers to certain questions. I had been a divorce professional for quite a while, more years than you've been alive. And then when I started going through my own divorce, I realized how little I knew about divorce and the process. Do you have an opinion about how and when a parent's significant other should enter into the picture? I know you have experience. Do you have an opinion?
I think that it's a very sticky subject.
Well, we deal with sticky subjects here.
Yes.
That's why you're here.
Well, depending on a situation, I experienced it in two different ways. A very slow way and a very fast way. With my father, things moved very quickly with the relationship with his girlfriend. And a lot of that was due to the fact that my father got a job a couple hours away and moved. And his girlfriend moved with him. So it went from, you know, kind of being in my family and then a separation to it almost felt immediate that there was this girlfriend that I was now living with.
How'd you feel about that?
Not always very, very good. There were a lot of problems and, you know, a lot of those issues have really been resolved. But it was interesting because with my mom, she didn't start dating somebody until about 4 years after my father left. And that was a very slow process. It was kind of getting to know the person and him getting to know us. And it almost was like a friendship and then gradually turned into this relationship. And I have to be honest that was more difficult for me. It was
healthier. I remember you had I actually wrote it down. Operation Destroy Mom's Companion.
Correct. Correct.
How'd that work?
It was a failed attempt, I'd have to say, in the long run. It's much healthier to do things slowly, as much as it's painful, because it gives you processing time. But in my case, it was harder to reject something that was just in your face immediately, and it was much easier to reject something that was slowly happening, and reject is what I did. For a very long time. And I will be the first to say that I was not a nice person. And
you're entitled.
Yeah.
How'd your brother deal with those things?
Much better than I did. I think it was an age thing. Being 4 years old when, 4 or 5 when my dad and his girlfriend moved in together, it was much different. And so his girlfriend will have been in his life for a longer period of time because he was younger when this happened. And as far as my mom's boyfriend, he was much more accepting of change than I was.
And when we come back, I want to talk about, what did you write in the book? I don't believe in step parents. That's what I want to talk about when we get back. This is Talking Alternative, the Divorce Hour with Larry Bloom, and I am here with Marina Lombardi.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
This is Jim Blue. When is the last time your computer had a checkup? You probably make sure your car keeps up with its maintenance schedule. Surely most of you have annual physicals. The same should be true of your equipment. Why shorten the life of your computer? You can save money by extending the life of your equipment with a maintenance program. In order to find out what type of program works best for you, give us a call. The phone number is 917-921-4518.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Squeeze singing Tempted by the Fruit of Another. I am here with Marina Lombardi. If you have questions, please call in 877-480-4120. Please, if children are listening and you have questions for Marina, do not be bashful. Call in. Marina can answer any question. I found that out off the air as well as on the air. What do you mean you don't believe in step parents? That's like saying I don't believe in fairies. I don't believe in fairies.
The infamous question. I don't know how widespread that belief is, or if I'm just one of the few that chooses to admit to it. But I don't really believe in the concept of a step-parent, because I feel like it's a very aggressive and overused term. I have a mother. I have a father. If one of them chooses at some point in their life to get remarried, I don't believe that that person automatically becomes a step-parent. Some children are very comfortable with that idea. Some children they deal with change extraordinarily better than I do, and they enjoy using that term. I have not been that kind of a person, because I have two parents, and dealing with two parents, as any child knows, can be quite a challenge. I don't need any more. And
that's fair. That's a very fair question, because somebody asked me last night what the rights of grandparents were. And I knew why he was asking me, because his stepson was about to become a father, but he wasn't married to the mother of this child any longer. And this particular baby who was born into this world must have had four sets of grandparents.
Yeah, for me, I think it's that if a child chooses to call their parents' new spouse their step-parent, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I feel like a lot of times parents push that, and society in general, I think, pushes that term. And I think it's very scary for some children. They're like, well, this is not my parent. I mean, step-parent has such a bad connotation. You know, all of the fairy tale movies, you know, you're dealing with Cinderella, you've got the evil stepmom, and that it's just got such negative connotations. And I don't think that it's something that needs to be used. You know, it's your father's wife or your mother's husband. I mean, that's really, I think, all that a parent should ever push on their child. And the rest should be up to the child.
And your parents, neither of them have remarried?
No.
How would you feel if one of them came home and said, I'm getting married?
I think that at the stage of my life right now, I'm going off to college and I won't be living most of my time at home. I would have a better time dealing with that kind of a change. Prior to that, I would have rejected it completely, because I am completely honest in saying that I never have dealt with change, especially with my parents' divorce, very well, and it would be very difficult for me to get used to that kind of a concept.
Let me ask you this. Are your parents on the same page with regard to the issues of raising you? You know, did you have one set of rules at mom's and one set of rules at dad's, or were they pretty much in agreement?
I was fairly lucky. Regardless of parents being divorced or married, there are always differences in the opinions of how to raise a child. The difference is that when you're married, you really should be compromising, and when you're divorced, you feel this sense of entitlement that you don't have to compromise anymore. So there were occasions where it was kind of like, you know, mommy, can I do that? And it was like, oh, I can do that now because daddy's not here. And it doesn't matter if daddy doesn't want me to, or, you know, so it can be used to a child's advantage if they want to, but it
can
also be
very good at playing both parents.
But it can also be very confusing when you're trying to remember the rules of two different games.
Okay. So you would recommend that even though the lack of communication between parents is probably what caused their divorce, they should continue to communicate as regards how to raise you.
On issues that are much on issues that are larger, I would say.
Okay, and what issues that are larger? What are we talking about?
Ear
piercings or tattoos? What are we talking about?
I mean, that's kind of a gray area. It could be, even something as little as that really should be discussed by both parents. But I mean, really the important things are just generally speaking how to raise this child. You know, are they, you know, after school activities, things like that. I mean, if a child wants to be on a sports team, or a child wants to have private lessons for an instrument, things like that, that all needs to be discussed, because it can't just be, you know, one parent says, well, no, I don't want that to happen. Or, you know, the mother says, well, yeah, but I want it to. There needs to be some kind of communication when it comes to the general upbringing of your child.
Well, I know you play the violin, correct?
I do.
And you, how do you get to Carnegie Hall?
You get to Carnegie Hall by practice.
Okay, good.
But you need support. As a child, you need to have support, because a child needs to be able to be given the opportunities to go out and pursue their dreams.
Well, that's true. But I guess what I'm driving at is you're able to practice at your mom's, and you're able to practice at your dad's pretty consistently.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. It's nice that they're on the same page with that. There really is. The first half of your book is entitled, Is This the End or the Beginning? I hope you realize it's the beginning.
It most certainly is.
Okay. There are aspects where it's ended, but you're 18 years old and you're off to conquer the world.
Exactly. And that's something you learn over time, because at the beginning, it certainly feels like the end.
I assume that's why you wrote the title of that half of the book that way.
Yes.
When we get back, I want to talk about how your parents' divorce and writing this book has impacted your views of your own future relationships. I'm telling you now because I want you to think about it during the break. This is Talking Alternative, the Divorce Hour with Larry Bloom, and I'm here with Marina Lombardi.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you suffering from aches and pains? Why not treat them naturally? Hi folks, I'm Giorgio Rapetti from Rapetti Wellness. Treat your aches and pains with natural methods at Rapetti Wellness in New York City. For more information, please call 212-721-8183. 212-721-8183. We look forward to hearing from you.
Are you confused by all the new gadgets that appear to be coming out almost on a daily basis? Is the new iPad for you? Should you be buying a PC or a Mac? My name is Jim Blue, and I make technology understandable. My phone number is 917-921-4518.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
We are young, hearted to heart, we stand. No promises, no demands. Love is a battlefield.
That, of course, is Love is a Battlefield, Pat Benatar. I'm going to ask you a question first before we get to the other question. Did you know Pat Benatar was classically trained in opera?
I did know that.
So, who knows? You could be a rocker in the future.
You never know.
You never know. So tell me, how has your experiences clouded or not clouded or impacted upon your views of future relationships for yourself?
It's scary. I've been so focused my whole teenage life on music that I really had no interest, and even if I had an interest, I didn't have time to put into that whole dating scene. So it's really given me a lot of thought about just future relationships, because I know that's really where things are going to happen.
Well, you're going off to college and you're not going to be living under mom's roof.
Yeah. And that's very scary for me. I can be honest and say that I have had options to date people, but I've always kind of, even if maybe I liked them or, you know, it, something could have, you know, at least happened, or, you know, even for a little while, I put up what I like to call, it's kind of like a wall. And it's difficult to talk about because it's something that I struggle with a lot, but it's almost like the second you feel somebody trying to get closer to you, you put this wall up and it kind of turns them away. And I guess I've always worried that I won't be able to ever put that wall down. And maybe I don't even want to, because there's a part of me that really doesn't believe in the concept of marriage anymore.
How about monogamy?
I believe in that.
Okay, good.
But I don't believe all the time in the concept of marriage, because I feel like there was a time when those marriage vows meant something, where, you know, it doesn't matter whether 10 years, 20 years down the line, that person starts aggravating you or this or that or whatever. You work through things. But we live in such a society right now that's like this instant gratification. And if something goes wrong, it's just socially acceptable to get a divorce so quickly. And that makes marriage so much easier too, because you're not really making a vow for life. You're just making a vow for as long as you want to make that vow for. And so it's sad that I don't have that. I don't dream about these princess weddings and finding my happily ever after and being married forever and ever, because
well, you have a lot on your plate right now too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're
exactly. But I mean, just in terms of thinking about that, I don't know. I don't really, I myself still believe that if I take a vow, that vow is forever. But I guess I just don't know if that's a vow that is almost outdated now. It you know, sometimes it just feels like society doesn't view that anymore. So it's a scary place.
I heard Lisa Gibbons say to you, "How did you get so darn mature?" I think that's the word she used. It's incredible that you have that ability to look at things that way.
I don't really know what to say. I mean, I grew up at a really young age. I had support from my parents even through the divorce, but when
you have the other support as well.
Exactly.
You were in
therapy. Yeah. But I mean, when you're dealing with a mother who is just devastated, and, you know, a father who is struggling with the divorce and everything, and you're dealing with your younger brother who you just want to protect and you want to grow up to not feel the pain that you felt, it's, you know, and you're seeing a therapist, so you're really learning about, I mean, I learned about things that there are people who are decades older than me still don't know about the human and the human body and the psyche and everything. And so it was kind of like, you know, I was almost forced to grow up early.
Well, whatever happened, it was great. You are a very mature and well-spoken young woman.
Thank you.
And it's been a pleasure having you on. I just want to ask you one last question. A 10-year-old kid comes up to you today and says, "My mom and dad just told me we're getting divorced." What kind of advice could you give them?
To communicate and to not be afraid of their feelings, to not feel that they're alone, because though we all tend to feel that way, there are a great many children of divorce. There are a great many of people that are just like me, that have the same feelings and the same guilt and the same problems, and we're not alone. We're all together in this, and that's really the most important thing to remember.
Marina, this has been a really fast hour.
I know.
I'm hoping we can do this again.
Oh, it would be wonderful.
Okay, good. I want to just give a little bit of an update. First of all, I want to thank you for coming down.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure, and I really hope my kids are listening. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, they're listening to the podcast the next time I see them. Next week, Mark Huppert of Body Vision will be back, because I did not give him a real good interview the first time around, and I apologize. So we will be talking about getting back in shape to become sexy again following your divorce. July 9th is the networking show with Tracy LaLonde, so we can get back to doing business following the divorce. July 16th, we're going to talk about collaborative divorce. July 23rd, we're going to talk about domestic violence. And on July 30th, we're having Dr. Lisa English in to talk about women's issues in divorce, including the depletion of emotional resources. After that, I'm hoping in August to get an expert on the financial and legal aspects of bankruptcy, as opposed to just emotional bankruptcy, financial bankruptcy. I remind you at your show, too, if you have topics you want me to address, please email me at Larry@divorcedbybloom.com or call me at 212-964-3502. And before we close, Marina, your website again to buy the book?
divorce2.blogspot.com. And my email is ourvoice@hvc.rr.com.
Great. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great week, everybody. See you next week on the radio.